Good evening, website family out there who's watching us at another time and date. This is August 14th, evening service. This is the conclusion of the concluded series on Paul's manner of life. We concluded it this morning. We reviewed the whole thing, and then we came to the conclusion. And the conclusion itself, or the ending of it anyway, which is a conclusion, but you know, whatever. We saved for the details for tonight, because I don't want to leave it alone and rush through it quickly. When all is said and done, and we have tried everything, and we have actually successfully tried everything, most of the time we jump the gun and we get too angry or we get too frustrated or we rebuke and reprove way too early. We have no long suffering. Our flesh is in the way. And we are living under, we're just living under such stress, you know, really. Quite often, I'll go back to my favorite stuff here. It's in 2 Corinthians. When Paul says that he is troubled, but he also says that he is, but he's not distressed. And he says that he's perplexed, but not in despair. Yet we know at one time he talked about being in such despair, he thought his life should be over. And, you know, you care for people and you're going to get burnt. If you don't care for people, you're going to get burnt for not caring for people. So then we just get frustrated and anger comes out real quickly, you know, and or else we just quit and give up. And no, there's a pattern here that Paul sets for us. And Paul's pattern is the one we're supposed to follow, according to the Scriptures. And when it's all said and done, we've tried everything and everything and everything, even trying staying away, avoiding this and avoiding that. That was our move. It has nothing to do with them. It's us that has to withdraw. We're not expecting them. You know, it's like when we get in the car and we're riding with somebody and they turn on the crummy music station. And so then we say, "Do you mind if you turn that radio off? It's offending me." I've heard that happen so many times. And, you know, as much as we like that for us, it's not right. We can't do that. We can't expect them to be the ones to come around. We have to have the patience. We have to put up with this stuff and have the long suffering and kindness, et cetera, et cetera. And then they'll see that we are different than we used to be, and we have a joy, and then they finally catch it. We're too quick. I'm too quick anyway. I've always been too quick. I guess it's that Ruckman in me that said, when Dr. Ruckman taught, if he hasn't offended five people, he hasn't done his job in his sermon. Well, I got to real quick learn how to offend people on my own, but we got rid of that. That's not the way it's supposed to be, according to Paul's Scriptures at all. But we'll be offensive, but it's not us trying to be offensive. It's the truth. It's the Scriptures, rightly divided Scriptures, which just bothers people. And, you know, you think about it. We talked about William Carey, how he came up with all that Great Commission stuff, and it was brought back to the churches from the mission fields, all these miracles, signs, and wonders. And Paul got kicked out. And so people before that were able to understand just by common sense, keep reading your Bible, and it comes to Paul, there you change your life. But trying to show people today, it's trying to go back to the rightly divided concept, because that's what it is, but it was never emphasized. It's only one verse, really. But it shows that to get people to get... I just like to ask people, you know, well, you believe that Jesus Christ rose, right? Well, yeah, of course we do. I'm a Christian. I believe that he died and rose again. Well, then... why do you listen to his teachings when he was on this earth, to the Jews? Well, I don't know. Why don't you listen to what he taught to the Gentiles after he rose through Paul, which is what the Scriptures say. Your King James Bible does say that, Mr. King James Bible person. Well, I don't know. I guess we don't want to disappoint our pastors, what it boils down to, in our church and family and stuff like that. Anyway, let's get going here tonight. This is the stuff that's really hard. I mean, it's hard for us to avoid and to withdraw and to have no company with, you know, and to stay away from the fairs and the truck rallies and the music stuff, you know. You know, we take our kids to it and they grow up having lousy music and you wonder why and all that sort of a thing. This is the tough one. Now, this is tough if we wait it out. This is not tough to do if we do it right away when we get angry and just let somebody go. This is for somebody that we care about. This is when it's tough. And the last points here, we said this morning, when all was said and done, and none of it worked with Paul, Paul said, well, to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh. He said in Timothy, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan. So he finally takes somebody and he says, devil can have him. And we'll look at the verses closely tonight. My point is this just one of those things that is out with the King James Bible? No, I don't believe it is at all. Because when you send somebody off to the world, you let them go. Well, they're going to go anyway. It's not that you're, you know, and you still care for them and all that, but maybe we get to the point where we even don't do that. I mean, turning somebody over to Satan, unto Satan, or unto the world, he's the god of this world, that's a pretty tough call. To say, well, I guess I'll just let you go off to the world and leave you alone. Go for it. And they go off to the world thinking they're going to have a great time, that kind of a thing. And the two things they're going to learn when they go off to this world is they're going to learn that their flesh needs to be destroyed, because the flesh is full of sin, and they're going to realize that they're just doing stuff their flesh wants to do, so they've got to get rid of that somehow. They've got to get some victories over that flesh. And then it says in Timothy, it says that they may learn not to blaspheme. So let's look at those two tonight in detail. And let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. And let's look at these things. How can he say what he's saying? How can Paul, who would die? Paul even said he would go to hell for people. He cares enough about them. I wouldn't do that. Sorry. I'm just not that way. I'm not going to go to hell for anybody. So that's that. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 5, and let's look at this whole context of this thing. It's not a long chapter. We've been to the chapter thing. We've been down to verse 13 where we find out who that wicked person is. We've been up to verse 9 and 10 where he says who we're not supposed to hang around. But this first part where he talks about here, he delivers this guy unto Satan. So, and I want you to see something here that I never really have concentrated on before in the past. And when Paul is talking here, he's letting the guy have it. He says here in verse 1, it is reported commonly. Now, there's the point right there, commonly. I mean, everybody knows that there's fornication among you. And so, you know, people are doing that stuff. And I know you can even take fornication beyond a sexual thing with just men and women when you look at worshiping other gods, you know, and that kind of a thing. But I'm pretty sure he's just talking about here, because he says, and such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. Now, father's wife, that's the guy's mother. And I know it can be stepmother or stepwife or you know, second wife, third wife, or whatever. But in order for this to be as bad as it is, I think it just has to be his wife. I mean, the guy's is fornicating with his mother. And he says, this is so bad that even the Gentiles don't do it. You know? So, but this is among the brethren. And I look at the word Gentiles most of the times when Paul is talking, he's not talking about the saved people, because that's the church of God. That's the brethren. And they're really, we're no longer Gentiles. We're church of God. You've got the Jews, you've got the church, you've got the Gentiles, and now you've got the church of God. So when he says here, such fornication as is not so much as named among the lost people, there's a saved person fornicating with his mother. That's pretty sick. And we know that we're living in a society that is really sick. And we know that Christians are sick too, because we're separated from our flesh, but we still make the choice to do things that our flesh would have us do, the sin that's in us. Like Paul says, it's not me that's doing this thing, it's the sin that's in me. Well, it's not like an excuse, but it makes sense when we're cut away from our flesh, as it's taught in Colossians 2, 11 through 16, about spiritual circumcision. So, this whole thing here is about the brethren. That even helped us understand verse 13 when it says that wicked person. Well, that's the brethren that we're looking at here. So, is this a specific thing that we have to be talking to somebody who is fornicating with his mother? I don't believe so, because a person gets to the point as a Christian, they get so worldly, and they get so demas following, and they get so perverted and so mean and so angry and so rebellious. How can they do that? They're saved. Yeah, their soul is saved, but they've been feeding the wrong. They've been feeding their flesh. They've been doing something that's keeping them out of their Bible. They're turning off that light of the armor of light. They're taking off that armor as much as they can. They can't because it's his light and it's his armor. But they're going off to the world. They want to just do what the world's doing. They don't want to hear about Paul. They don't want to hear about the risen Savior. They don't want, I don't know why, unless we've taught it wrong, they don't want to hear about how they can be forgiven and not all things are lawful and the whole thing, you know. But that's what they do. And I think we come to a point in our life with people that we finally need to just quit being kind. We need to quit being loving. We need to quit being long-suffering. There finally comes a time we've rebuked, we've reproved, we've admonished, we've left them, we've walked away, we've avoided, all that stuff's been done. We tried to show them the truth carefully. We spoke with grace, tried to show them a little truth. We tried to be nice, the whole thing. Family or friends or brethren or somebody you work with or neighbors or whatever, it finally comes to where, you know what, it's time to shut this thing down and you want to go off to the world, go for it. But now while he's telling this story here, while he's talking to us this way, look at what he says in verse 2. And ye are puffed up. So everybody knows this is going on, and you are puffed up and have not rather mourned, that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you. So Paul is not only, you know, blasting the guy that's fornicating with his mother, he's also rebuking the people that are commonly aware of this thing, and they don't care. And ye are puffed up and have not rather mourned. Well, why should you mourn? Because this guy is in big trouble. He's not going to lose his salvation. All things are lawful. But he's doing something seriously wrong with his testimony. He's doing something that's going to affect his judgment seat, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So there's two attacks, you want to use them as such here. He says in verse 3, for I verily, that's Paul, as absent in the body, he wasn't there, but even he knows about it, but present in spirit, have judged already, as though I were present, concerning him that has so done this deed. See, we get jumped on for judging. Well, all the judging verses people put on us are from the gospel verses. So what does Paul have us do for judging? Well, we judge all the time. We're supposed to not judge those that are weak in the faith. But he's putting it on us here that for those that are brethren, and everybody knows this is going on. Everybody knows this guy is caught up in the world. Everybody knows. Everybody comes to church and puts on this, I'm putting the screen down, so don't anybody try to talk to me because I'm not going to be able to see what you're saying. You know, it's that famous church face stuff. And I know I've said this before, but in my experiences of a pastor, I know of one guy who constantly talked about people with church faces, and as it turns out, he had the biggest church face of them all. So he knew what he was talking about. So we have to come to a point with our friends and family, brethren, of course, the Christian ones, that we have to, Paul judged right away. This guy was fornicating with his mother. That's just gross. That's just sick. We know there's people that are really heavy into the garbage music, the ungodly, if there's such a thing, of the music that's just wicked. It's just demon, devil worship. We know there's people out there that just do stuff in the public terribly. And we've tried all these other things, but we got to come to a point where we can't just be happy to be around them because we know what's happening. We know that testimony is ruining their children. We know that. And Paul's rebuking this guy, these people, for you know that this guy was fornicating with his mother, and everybody knows it's commonly reported, and you're puffed up, and you're not mourning. You're not unhappy about this thing, because this guy is going to be in trouble. Verse 4, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when ye are gathered together, and my spirit, with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such a one unto Satan. Now that's a serious thing to do to somebody. That the Spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus? What is that? Well, we know it's not the Holy Spirit because it'd be capitalized. And Paul talks about my spirit. We all have our spirit. What's this about our spirit being saved? It's a tough one for him. I don't think we're even looking at it that way. It's the whole spirit of the whole issue here. Your glorying is not good, he says. There's the key, verse 6. I mean, this guy's doing this stuff with his mother, and you're not doing anything about it. You're puffed up, and you think you're just Mr. Great Christian, and you're glowing. It's not good. You've got a problem on your hands. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? You mean this guy that's listening to the crummy, rotten music can drag somebody else down? Oh, yeah. You mean this lady that comes to church dressed like she charges to be around people? Yeah. That lady's going to destroy that church. You mean this person who's doing this out there in this world and blah, 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 and they say they're Christians? Yes. We come to a point where we're not supposed to just stay away from them. We're supposed to just let them go to the Satan, let them go to the world. Now, you could look at this as a church situation. Listen, we don't want you in this church anymore. Out of here. You're going to drag down the kids. You're going to drag down the other women. You're going to drag this. You're going to do that. I kicked a lady out of the church a bunch of years ago. It's the best thing that happened to that church. Now, this will probably get out and around. Let me check to see who's on this thing. It'll probably get back to everybody. But I'll tell you, it's what needed to have been done. And it helped. From what I understand now, that person is back, and there's problems all over the place. Sometimes you just have to do what you have to do. Purge out, therefore, the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump. It's about you being the new lump, not this other person. Sometimes you just got to get these people out of your life because they're going to take you down. And one of the ways of taking them out of your life is to say, listen, you go off and do your thing. You go to the movie house. You go to these places. You watch all this stuff. You go do your thing. I can't be with you anymore. It's done. Go to the world. Have a great time. Don't come to church anymore. Don't contact me. No more Bible studies because you're just throwing the Bible in God's face. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with the old leaven, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness. See, that's what was going on when this guy was puffed up and they were glorying the fact that they knew this was, they all knew this guy was doing that with his mother. So with a leaven of malice and wickedness, you know, putting up with everything. No, we need to have the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. So Paul is not just the Gospels guy where he says, well, let's just love everybody unconditionally. You know, I did a sermon a couple of weeks ago. Some of you might know that. We talked about this unconditional love. Christ loves us unconditionally, no doubt. He made things lawful. But he also tells us some things that we need to do. He'll never leave fellowship from us. He'll never take our salvation away from us. But it still can spoil the party for us, if I can say it that way. So what we're looking at here is Paul gets serious. When it's time for Paul to put the hammer down, Paul puts the hammer down. And he sends somebody off to the devil, off to the world. Go for it. Now, that's what we're talking about here. Then as you get into the rest of this chapter, it now makes more sense because he says, I wrote unto you an epistle not to accompany with fornicators. But he's not talking about the world fornicators. Because he says in verse 10, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters. See, now there's more description here. It isn't just fornicators. He's talking about the covetous. He's talking about the extortioners with idolaters. And I say it again, pastors putting the gospel on people that God's going to punish you, chastise you, he's going to scare people to do right from God. That's extortion. You're not paying enough money to the church, God will take away your joy. That's extortion. But anyway, that's just my bunny trail. I always got to throw that in. For then you must needs go out of the world. So he's not talking about the lost people. And it's funny, he says, such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles, the lost people. You know, there are lost people that are better walkers, better have better morals, higher standards than a lot of Christians. It's the Christians that are dropping the tops. It's the Christians that are shortening the skirts. It's the Christians that are talking proudly. It's the Christians that are caught up in this new music now. It's the Christians doing this. It's the Christians doing that. And the lost world out there knows that the country is in trouble. They want to go fight for it. They want to do what's right. And when they toss in their religion, they toss in the Ten Commandments and their religion. And that's where we know that they're wrong. But those people have a better testimony than a lot of Bible-believing, King James, Paul-following Christians that I know. Because they just don't want to give it up. So anyway, he's saying, I'm not talking about fornicators of this world, he says, or the covetous, or the extortioners, or idolaters. If you want that, you got to leave the earth. You got to get out of this world. You're out of the world. You got to leave this planet. But now I've written unto you not to keep company if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator or covetous or an adulterer or a railer or a drunkard or an extortioner. See, now the list is bigger. It isn't just a guy fornicating with his mother. It's somebody who's covetous. Somebody's an idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, extortioner. And he says in verse 12, for what have I to do to judge them also that are without? I mean, what's he going to do? The lost person is a lost person. Do not ye judge them that are within? That's the brethren. But them that are without, God judgeth. Now, is that how that verse is supposed to be emphasized? Or should I read it this way? But them that are without God judgeth. Is he telling us to judge those that are without God? Well, they're already judged. For what have I to do to judge them also that are without? So if we look at that verse 13, now look at it closely, but them that are without, God judges. Because he's talking about them that are without. He's talking about them that are within. Why would he, he's just going to continue that. But them that are without, which is unsaved, God judge them, Romans chapter 2. Therefore, put away from among yourselves that wicked person. That wicked person is a Christian. Says he's a Christian. And this Christian is gone over the edge. He's fornicating with his mother. He's covetous to the point of, we're all covetous to a point. He's so covetous, etc. He's a bad testimony. He's an example. It's very destructive. He's an idolater. What do you have for idols? I don't know, yourself, music, TV, money, movies. I mean, whatever. What do you worship, you know, kind of a thing. Or a railer. How's your attitude? How do you talk to people? Are you constantly beating on people and railing and angry at people? Or a drunkard, or an extortioner. Those are the brethren that we're supposed to, okay, let the devil have them. Let them go out and do their thing. Now, I'll say it again from this morning. This tells me that when we let people go, or when people leave us, or whatever, God isn't going to whack on them. I suppose I better pop a verse in the Romans chapter 2. God lets the if this person is lost, we're still talking about Christian people, but let's just look at the lost, for example, here. Romans chapter 2, he says, after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasurest up thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. These guys are storing up their wrath if he's lost. But if he's a Christian, isn't this an amazing thing? He's a Christian, and all things are lawful. And yet this guy is such a bad testimony that he needs to be turned unto Satan. Go back to the world, Christian. You're doing such a lousy job of being a Christian. According to Paul's teachings, Romans chapter 2, 16, Philippians 4, 8, I mean, you just go down the list, that you need to head off to the world. I'm done with you. And you're putting away from among yourself, he's a wicked person. But he's a brother. He's a Christian. Now, this has great family application. Remember I said years ago, back at Tushy, that your family design should follow Paul's exactly. The teaching's there, same thing. If you got a son or a daughter or something that just wants, then you got to let them go after a while. So all this stuff has fantastic practical application. And yet we hang around these people. And it's just like a class of 30 little kids, and 29 of them are just little angels, which we know is not possible. But I've had classes where the kids are really very good kids, you know, as kids can be. And then, boom, one new kid moves in from down the street, and he's a bad little guy. Or I better be balanced, a bad little girl. That one person can destroy that class in days. And it's time for that guy to be taken out of the school. They won't take him out of the school because they need their money. Each kid is worth about $5,000 in South Dakota. So they keep him. Well, I could get into this from last year, but I probably better not in case anybody's listening in. We had two kids in our school, in one of our schools that I was teaching at back in last year, and those two kids affected the entire school. Not affected, as well as infected the entire school. Gang-oriented. They just had the look. So I'm asking my little kindergartners, are you kids scared of anybody in this school? Oh, yes, Mr. Bison, it's Miss da-da-da-da. There's his name. That kid needs to be put away. Get out of there. I don't mean put away in a prison. That would be nice. But, I mean, he needs to just get out of there. That's what we need to do. And if we hang around, I'm telling you, because they didn't get rid of him, the rest of the class started to be just like him. So there comes a time when you've got to do what you've got to do. And that's send somebody off unto Satan. So that is flesh. What he wants to do, that's got to be destroyed in that guy. Not killed, but his flesh. The power that he has, occasion for the flesh. His flesh is stronger than his will, than his mind, than his as a Christian. Now, I'll leave it at that. But don't forget, Paul rebuked those that knew what was going on. Now, if we don't know what's going on, we just think it is, we could be totally wrong. But everybody knew this guy was messing with his mother. Can you imagine such a thing? And then Paul adds more to it. Covetous, idolater, railer, drunkard, extortioner. Send him off to the devil. And the devil will work on him. God isn't going to work on him. The only way God's going to work on anybody today is to open up their King James Bible and read what's written to them personally, face to face, to you. God's just going to let you go where you want to go. Now, as a Christian, God isn't going to hammer on us either. But he's going to tell us in that Bible what's right and what's wrong, and we ought to do that. And it comes down to the brethren that if any of us are just outwardly, commonly, everybody knows we're doing what we're doing, then you need to leave and go back to the world, because that's what you're putting forth anyway. And those people that, and those of us who put up with this in the church, for example, we know that this is going on in the church. If we don't do something about that person in that church, then God's going to rail on us. Your glorying is not good. You are so puffed up and have not rather mourned that this person is doing what this person is doing. That's why, again, I'll say it again, when I kicked that lady out of the church, it was what needed to be done. And we didn't suffer financially because the husband didn't have the courage to, I mean, he had his hands full, and he ended up leaving too, and another family left over, that kind of stuff. And, well, that's just the way it goes. You've got to do what you've got to do if you know. And even now on this website, I bumped a guy here a couple, if you didn't see that, I bumped a guy a couple minutes ago. What do you call it? Blocked or dropped or whatever. I knew the guy, Bishop Keith. I knew who he was. He's not coming back in my doors again. Well, where's your love, partner, for this guy? Well, no, I've sent this guy back to what he wants. He can go back there, but stay out of my building. Anyway, that's just me. I don't see any amens on there. But oh well. Let's look at the other reason to send somebody off to the devil. Let's go to first. At least your name is still on the list, or you're still online anyway. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Let's look at that one. Let's look at 1 Timothy 1:20. Now, what's this one about? Well, this one's tougher. This one could backfire on me if I'm not careful here. Yeah. 1 Timothy 1:20. Okay. Well, let's go back. Let's turn to that thing. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 1. Now, we don't need to read the whole chapter for this one. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Oh, I rearranged my desk, so now I got a squeak on one of my things. I cannot. It's like having styrofoam in the back of the car when you're going fishing 50 miles away, and you hear the styrofoam squeaking in the back of the car, and you can't stop and go get it because you're on the interstate. By the way, notice the double highway we have in South Dakota. When I put the notes online here, when I'm done here tonight, you'll notice our double highway we have. So we're looking at 1 Timothy chapter 1. There we go, chapter 1. That squeak just driving me nuts here. You probably can even hear it. Now the chapter ends with, "Of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme." Now, we're not going to go to the Gospels. That's somewhere in Matthew or something where blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, and there's a blasphemy, well, I forgot how that thing goes. I'm not talking about that. That's a glory, that's a gospel time, tribulation time type of a thing. But we're looking, I got some notes here somewhere. Here we go. Well, I'll get to that in a minute here. Let's go back a few verses. We can go back to verse 17, for example. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. This charge I commend unto thee. Okay, now what is this charge? Well, if you go back and look at your previous verses, I don't see a charge in there. But I do see a charge in chapter 2, verse 1. The way grammar is so important. He says, this charge I commit unto thee. Then he's got this little side-like comment here. Then he goes into chapter 2, verse 1. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, here's the charge. It's that therefore that brings it back to where he says, this charge I commit unto thee. I exhort that first of all, supplications and prayers and intercessions and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, da 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 da. There's the charge. But he says, this charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy. Now we know he's his spiritual son. According to the prophecies which went on before thee, that thou by them would be those prophecies, mightest war a good warfare. See, everybody thinks that the Christian today is supposed to stay out of war. No, we're going to have war with people. We're just not out there warmonging and looking for a fight. We're trying to tell people the truth. We're trying to show them the truth in our lives. We want them to see, like in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 9, where Paul got into our lives and changed our lives. It was effective. And yes, that's the risen Savior, but we don't know about the risen Savior except through Paul. So there's going to be a war. We're going to have a war. We don't want a war. And when a war gets started, we're going to find out that the war is with people that you just do not want to have a war with. I mean, there's people all over this world I could have a war with. I don't care. But the people I care and love, that's where my war is at. So Paul says here that thou by them, the prophecies that were given to Timothy, now remember the book of Timothy, 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy, remember what those things say in there. And you remember Bob back in, I guess Jeanette would too, when we did the Timothy Titus series, I called them the pastoral suicide series, I nearly went nuts teaching that stuff because I knew what was going on in the homes. And because I knew, I couldn't glory, just like Paul says. I didn't get puffed up. I mourned. I knew that these parents are going to ruin these children. I didn't glory over that stuff because I knew that a little leaven is going to leaven those whole families. And 3 years later or 2 years later, whatever, it's happened. But this is because of what Timothy was taught and Titus. So, there's going to be a warfare. Now, semicolon, here we go. Holding faith and a good conscience. We need to have faith. Our faith needs to get stronger, and we need to realize that every day we live by the faith of Jesus Christ in Galatians. And a good conscience. Do we have a good conscience? Well, we ought to have a good conscience. All things are lawful. Oh, wait a minute. Some things that cause somebody to stumble. Yeah, I guess I can think of some examples there. Some things, they're supposed to be expedient. Okay. Yeah, they're supposed to edify. Well, that didn't edify. Okay, I have a problem there. It's not supposed to be an occasion for the flesh. Well, okay, I guess I just did it because I had that. I ate like that. It's my flesh, or I did this, or went there, and watched. Whatever, it's my flesh. And not to have a power over you. Well, we got some things that have a power over us. So, see, we can have a good conscience because all things are lawful. However, there are strings attached, and yeah, we got some problems in our life. So our conscience is clean, yet we know there's some things that are going to burn the judgment seat of Christ. Okay. So, but, now these guys, but it says here, holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith, they want to see. They want to see. They want to see. They have no faith. The only way they'll have faith is if they see, and then it's not faith. So they quit. They give up. And some people can give up so much, their lives are a shipwreck. I don't need to go there. We all know people like that. Maybe we've been that way. Maybe some of us are going to end up that way still soon. Concerning faith, have made shipwreck. Now, if you remember Acts 20, I think it's Acts 26 or 27, one of my favorite chapters is 27. Paul goes on this voyage. And it's such a type for us that we're on a voyage in this world, and let's listen to Paul. And these people don't listen to Paul. As a result, their ship crashes, and those that can swim, I mean, this chapter is fantastic. If somebody does have a shipwrecked life, the risen Savior can still put that ship back together, even though the ship pieces, the wood, the boards, the ship will never be the same, but you can still make it to shore. But it's better that you have the skill to swim to shore than it is to hang on to a loose board and be tossed about by all the waves and the sharks and all this stuff. You'll get to shore eventually, but you'll be one battered person. I love that chapter. So anyway, he's talking here about some people concerning faith have made shipwreck. I mean, they just bagged it. They're just a mess. Now, we can be strong Christians doing the right thing and still live in a mess. The debt of this society is killing us. We need to have three or four different jobs to make the money. We all spend money. It's cost me this last couple of months. This is just what happens. And those of you out there supporting us, I'll thank you again for doing so. But we all can have a rough life. We're not promised this marvelous, successful Christian life. That's another one of those gospel things. Paul warns about that in Timothy 6, where it says people think that gain is godliness. No, that's not what we're talking about here. People's lives are a shipwreck when they give up on their faith. And yet we also know that those that give up on their faith sometimes get a better job, make more money, and they supposedly are happier for now. But we know that their life, according to Paul, is a shipwreck. They're a disaster. It's not that you didn't try to help them, but they don't want to help. We finally have to say, okay, go off to the world. Go off to the devil. I'm gonna send you to Satan, unto Satan. Look at the next phrase. Of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan. Okay? Why? What was their problem? Well, that they may learn not to blaspheme. Blaspheme. Here we go. Let's do a quick study on the word blaspheme. We're not looking at the gospel because that's not applying to us. Paul, in Acts 26 and 1 Timothy chapter 1:13, says he was a blasphemer. Paul was a blasphemer. That's not important to us. 2 Timothy 3:2 says that for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers. We can be blasphemers. Really? Sure. That's a list right there. I'm getting a phone buzz. Is the sound gone or something here? Nope. Okay. So here's the tough stuff now. Now we're going to get right. This is going to get tough. This is the hardest way to end this whole thing here. Let's go to the easier one. Titus chapter 2, verse 5. This one's going to get me in trouble anyway. Titus chapter 2, verse 5. It says, talking about young women, to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. So how can a woman, we're not looking at the gospel application of blasphemy. Here's how a woman can blaspheme the word of God. How do you blaspheme the word of God? You do what the Bible doesn't say. And this Bible says, be sober, love your husband, love your children, be discreet, be chaste, be keepers at home, be good, obedient to your husbands. And if you don't do that, the word of God is blasphemed. Okay? So, in a case like Paul's talking about here, if you want to do those things, go ahead. Jump in. Now, I realize that there's divorces, there's sickness, there's somebody dying early, there's your spouse dies. I mean, all sorts of exceptions and all this stuff. We're not done. We know that. And life is life. This world is a perverted world. It's of the devil. It's his kingdom. He's the god of this world. So we know that all that's going to take place. But if somebody would be willingly, willfully wanting, and if they don't, they're going to make your life miserable and be the worst Christians. They're going to church. Everybody knows this kind of stuff. Then that's how they're blaspheming the Word of God, ladies. So, as it says there, let them go. Why? Well, they're going to learn not to blaspheme. They're going to learn that they were better off with their husbands. They're going to learn that, unless their husband is a jerk, and then Paul deals with that too, with divorce. Unless they don't want to be sober, they don't love their children, they send them off to somebody else. They're no longer discreet. They're not chaste. They're not clean and modest looking. They don't want to stay at home. They're not good, blah, 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 blah. And they're going to find out that, well, that world is a cruel place. Yes, it is. It's a horrible place. I mean, I'm driving all the time, and I'm seeing more and more women driving the tractors and the road graders, and the guys are hanging onto the flags. Not that the women ever should have been anyway. That's what's going on. And will they find out? They'll find out at their judgment seat, the white throne judgment, or they'll find out in the judgment seat of Christ, what's the time here, that all that stuff that they've done is just a burn. It's going to burn. What a waste. So instead of fighting them, I guess you just, well, okay, go ahead, go for it. But you're going to find out that your kids are going to grow up horrible. And today, when kids grow up horribly, a boy can grow up to be a girl. I mean, they can change all this. It's just wicked what's going on out there. So these people, I guess you just quit fighting them, let them go do their thing. And what you're doing is you're turning them over unto Satan. Let the devil have them. Let the devil show how exciting it is to work out in that workplace. Ladies, you know how that is, some of you ladies out there, how hard it's been. Now, I'm one that would say that our workplace and our society has now changed so much to accommodate to the women that when a man comes along and tries to run something, he can't, because to run it like a man would run it, the people won't go to your store. They like to be flattered. They like to have all these little things. No, it's just, you know, you see what I'm saying? If we were to suddenly change right now, it would be such a shock. It's like a guy in Las Vegas years ago, one of my friends in the church down there, opened up a King James Bible bookstore in Las Vegas, and somebody gave him the money to do it. Thousands of dollars were invested. Well, and we were all excited. Oh, this is going to be great. Las Vegas needs this. Right. Do you think anybody came to that store? Even the church people didn't go to that store to buy any books. And if a guy really pins it down, what's a good book to sell? There's hardly any books to sell. There's tons of religious books, but everybody's telling everybody what's wrong, and they're making money off of these books because they're telling everybody what's wrong. We know what's wrong. What are these books that tells us what to do that's right? Everybody says, well, get back to Jesus. Get back to the Bible. Why don't they say, get back to the risen Jesus through Paul in the King James Bible? What a thing. What a waste. Anyway. So there's the woman situation. Deliver them under Satan. They're going to just have to learn the hard way. Then you've got the man. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 1. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 1. What do we do to blaspheme? First Timothy chapter 6, verse 1. Here we go. Let as many servants as are under the yoke, we got a job in other words, count their own masters worthy of all honor. Now, come on, men. That's our boss we're talking about there. And that's an unbelieving master, because in verse 2, it talks about them that have believing masters. We're talking about having an unsaved master, an unsaved boss. We're to count him worthy of all honor. Now, that just goes against us. Why? Well, look what it says. That the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. So that's what a man does. We can blaspheme the word, we can blaspheme God, the name of God and his doctrine, to a lost person because we argue and fight and squabble and don't do our job. That's us. So, let's go out there and let's, how do you learn not to blaspheme? Okay, go out there, get a job and criticize your boss, and guess what? You can get fired and never get another job again. You learn the hard way. Treat your boss right. Doesn't mean he's going to treat you back right. But you're going to know that you're doing the right thing with what God wants you to do. And if we don't, that's going against what God's telling us to do. I've had a hard time with that one. I was always arguing with my principals and superintendents. Come on, you don't even know what you're talking about. You don't even know what music is like. What are you talking about? Well, you know, as hard as it is, we've got to count that boss worthy of all honor and treat him that way. Isn't that terrible? Isn't that just terrible? But that's how we as men blaspheme. Now, here's another thought. Let's look at Hymenaeus exactly. 2 Timothy 2:17. Hymenaeus is one of those guys that was turned over to Satan. And look at 2 Timothy 17. And their word will eat as doth a canker. Of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus? Okay. Who concerning the truth have erred. So Hymenaeus was wrong in what way? Well, look at verse 16. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase into more ungodliness. And their word will eat as doth a canker. This is Hymenaeus. So Hymenaeus was teaching false things. What false things was he teaching? 15, there's your rightly dividing. So here's Hymenaeus, who's teaching profane and vain babblings, not rightly dividing, and he gets sent off to Satan. Okay? What does that tell us? That tells us these people that are correcting the Word of God, that are printing out different Bibles, they're arguing against Paul all the time, there comes a certain point where they need to be turned unto Satan. Listen, you want to follow an NIV Bible? You want to stick with that thing? Have at it. Go ahead. I'm going to be doing a series here, probably starting this next week now, whether it's going to be on the Wednesday and Sunday series or just off on its own, I don't know. My life is about to change with school starting, et cetera, et cetera. But I'm going to go through as many comments that one of these gospel-following guys who doesn't believe in Paul's teachings only, I'm going to show responses to this stuff. And I know this guy isn't going to catch on. I can just tell the way he's writing to me now. He's not going to get it. And there's going to come a time I'm going to have to say, you know what, blank, such and such, you know, why don't you just go out there and have a great time in your college, have a good time with the way you believe that Bible's written, and you're going to find out that you're blaspheming the Word of God. You're going to find out that your flesh needs to be destroyed. You want to live it that way? Go have at it. Go have it. You're going to follow the devil of this world. And remember, the devil of this world, the god of this world, he's got ministers out there. They're ministers of righteousness. But the righteousness they preach is man's righteousness, not God's righteousness. And they're of the devil. This guy is going to a school that is of the devil. And this school even says that they say that the King James Bible is the Word of God, but they use the Greek to prove it. And that still, their final authority is not the King James Bible. And they do not rightly divide. They don't even deal with it. So you let him go. I'm finally going. I know. I almost want to say it now. He's probably going to listen to this, I guess. I just want to say, you know what? Why don't you just quit? You're not going to get it anyway. Why don't you just go back to your college, have a great time, play the game, be a preacher boy, and have a great time with all that they're going to teach you, how to take Genesis 1 all the way to Revelation and apply it to your life. Some of it. You can't apply all of it. He still can't answer what. He still doesn't know what the faith of Jesus is, and he doesn't know how to explain 1 John 1:9. Because I said, if 1 John 1:9 applies to us, then a Catholic is saved because he asks for forgiveness all the time. So, no. You know what I'm going to have to do? I'm going to have to let this guy go. Hey, take off. I don't care. It's fine with me. And Paul would do that. But unto Satan, that's unto the world. So, that's all it says about blasphemy, by the way. Paul was a blasphemer. We are blasphemers. A woman has a way to blaspheme God, the Word of God. And a man blasphemes the name of God and his doctrine. And if you're going to keep that stuff up, God's going to say, well, take off. Go do it. Hopefully it doesn't get to that point. And this Alexander guy, there's good Alexanders, there's a bad one. Is this Alexander the coppersmith? It doesn't say. If it was, then Alexander the coppersmith, he went against Paul's words. He mocked his words. And Paul said, in fact, where's that at? That's Acts what? Right towards the end. Wasn't that Acts? 2 Timothy, let's look at 2, that's where it's at, 2 Timothy. That's where he comes in there. 2 Timothy chapter 4. He says, Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. There you go. That's exactly who this is. I mean, what a thing. Paul says, listen, Lord, give him what he's got coming to him. Of whom be thou were also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. So, this is a guy that went against Paul, finally said, listen, Lord, give him what he believes. And if he wants to follow that NIV or that wrongly divided King James Bible, let him have it. That's turning him over to the devil, because that's who this world's God is. Now, I'm trying to watch my words tonight. I want everybody to understand this thing. I don't want to be accused of aiming or anything. It's just the way the sermon came out. But this is the toughest part of being a Christian. As a Paul-following Christian, there's a time we've got to tell somebody, take a hike. Go off to the world and let them. I mean, they're already there anyway. What's the deal? Just let them go. Quit talking to them. Quit trying to show them this. Quit trying to do this. Lay out this long-suffering kindness stuff. This is what he wants? Go for it. Like Paul said about Alexander. Lord, let him get what he's got coming according to his works. Let him have it. So Paul does come to a point, return somebody over to the devil. Paul is not this huggy-lovey butterfly Christian all the time. I mean, he's just not. He's a serious man. So the manner of life includes everything from prayer, tears, forgiveness, kindness, long-suffering, etc., truth and grace and truth, to where you have to rebuke and reprove and admonish. You have to speak out. You have to get away from them. And after a while, you got to get them away from you and send them back to the world. That's the manner of life that we need to be striving towards. That's it. I mean, that's the end of 24 sermons on the manner of life. Now, go back and study them. And remember, all things are lawful, but there's a better way to live, but this world isn't going to like it. Paul says, if you want to live a godly life, you are going to suffer persecution. You live the way Paul teaches, you will suffer. That's just the way it's going to be. If you don't want to suffer, then quit trying to see how it is that Paul does it. Go ahead and bash your boss at work because I don't care, I just hate the guy. He's worthless. Well, he is. He's worthless. And if he's a Christian, he's worthless. Now, I'm thinking of one right now. Well, that'd be tough to give that guy honor. Well, all you got to do to give that guy honor is to obey what he teaches you. You don't have to kiss his feet. Don't have to like the guy. Just have to do your job and give him the honor as your boss. Yes, sir. I'll do my part, sir. Yes, I did my job, sir. That's what I'll do. And give him the honor of being your boss. Other than that, no. So anyway, well, there's a way to end that.